This world is dangerous like never before. North Korea and Iran are pursuing the nuclear bomb. Europe is quietly building a dominant superpower. China and Russia pose daily threats to world security. But there is hope. Discover how the pages of your Bible contain the solutions to all of mankind's problems. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury. Last month, Key of David presenter Gerald Fleury commenced a series of two-night personal appearance campaigns in cities across North America. The first stop on Mr. Fleury's continental tour was Chicago. The following program is adapted from a lecture he gave to Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine subscribers on the first night of that trip.
I've been here to Chicago many times, and it's really great to be here with you again. And this is a special place for us. We have a daily television program here and also a weekly or Sunday program. And the good news is that really the overall response in this city is better than any city in the U.S. And a lot of that is attributed, of course, to the daily television program. But I do thank you. Many of you I know are supporting this work in a number of ways, and we thank you for that. And it is gaining in power, and we are reaching out around the world in ways that we have not before. I thought, since the time is limited, that I would like to get into a little bit of the news to talk to you about a few events. And if you look at and really know and understand world news, you know there's a lot of people that are hopeless in this world. Where is it all leading, and what does this all mean? It is something that God has made clear to us, and I'm sure over 100 Bible prophecies. And there isn't any reason for us not understanding that. Mr. Armstrong taught it, and we've certainly been teaching it. I just heard yesterday that college students have as their number one problem anxiety. Now, young people with anxiety, which is kind of like a byproduct of fear or hopelessness, that's amazing that it's that way. It's not that way in our college. It really isn't. If you have a chance, you can come down and check us out, and we'll show you. It is different, and it has to be different, or our young people are not going to have hope, or nobody else is going to have hope. But I'm talking about a living hope that Bible prophecy brings to anybody that really understands it. A living hope. Peter talked about that so much of the time. We have all kinds of problems. I mean, really, really scary problems if you just look at this, let's say, apart from God. You can see why people are disturbed, anxious, fearful, hopeless, and it's getting bad, well, worse and worse and worse, and it's getting that way very fast. And if you know anything about news, you know that. I don't have to tell you that. You've been reading about Kim Jong-un, famous guy on the world scene, or infamous, however you want to look at that, I guess. But he has now created an ICBM missile, which is an intercontinental ballistic missile. And all he has to do is put a nuclear warhead on that, and he can reach the United States now, so they say. Now, that's scary when you think about this guy, and we are his number one enemy, although we've given him all kinds of money, and that's a little hard to understand, but that's the way it is. And he shot off this missile, this ICBM, on July the 4th. Now, this man, who is surely most people would say is mad, is taunting us with nuclear weapons on July the 4th, our Independence Day. Now, that's something that we need to be concerned about. Charles Krauthammer, one of the TV commentators, said, well, every president has been kicking this problem with Kim Jong-un down the road. And he said, now we've come to the end of the road. Now, that's, if you know what he's talking about, you know we're facing a nuclear problem that if it started, it's going to become a nuclear nightmare. And it's hard to even describe how bad that is. I mean, if you look at Vladimir Putin, he has a missile, one missile, nuclear missile, that can totally destroy the whole state of Texas or Illinois. And you have to say, well, now something is very different about this age, and Jesus Christ said exactly that. It is very different. And he said if he didn't return, there would be no flesh saved alive. Now that's something you and I need to be concerned about. For our children, for our families, or whatever, however you look at it, we need to be deeply concerned about this. And incidentally, Kim Jong-un's ICBM is on a mobile launcher, so you can't even know where it's going to be launched from. How do you deal with a problem like that? Now, he has given, according to intelligence reports, most of his, well, whatever he's doing over there, he gives to Iran. Now, Iran has made it very clear that we're his number one enemy. He, too, is about to get nuclear weapons. What are you going to do when people like that get nuclear weapons? He believes that his version of the Messiah will come even sooner if they create more violence and more unrest, according to all their own teachings. These people with nuclear weapons, you just cannot push that aside and say, well, it's not such a big deal. But it is a big deal, and what are we going to do about it? I want to show you a scripture in a moment that I think is probably the most inspiring, hope-filled scripture in the Bible. And there are a lot of them. What is God doing about all this? What is he going to do? Well, he's going to have to stop it, or there wouldn't be anybody left. So something is terribly wrong with the leadership of this world. And God says those of us who will get out and do this work before the second coming of Jesus Christ are going to rule over the nations. Now that's a great promise that God has given us. Rule over the nations. But you do have to do some preparing, and you do have to really get in step with God to be able to do that. You know that. I think that's basic Bible understanding. Benjamin Netanyahu came to Congress and he had this to say. I'll just paraphrase it. He said, look, Iran is not just a Jewish problem. There are 6 million Jews were killed in World War II, but 60 million people were killed. How many billions do you think we'll kill in a World War III? I mean, this is just hard to even fathom when you think about it. No wonder young people are anxious and fearful and hopeless. If they haven't been taught, well, hey, I think I'd be going crazy if I were that age and trying to survive in this world. But if you think Iran, who is the number one terrorist-sponsoring nation in the world, if you think they're dangerous now, what is it going to be like when they have nuclear weapons? There's several U.S. leaders that think China will somehow rein in this Kim Jong-un because he provides 90% of their goods. But China's not trying to rein in North Korea. If they had been, why in all these 30 years haven't they reined them in? They don't want to. And they're building all kinds of military bases right out in the middle of the South China Sea. And I think it's $5 trillion worth of trade goes through that sea. And if you can control trade, you can control nations. And let me tell you, those people are building up power, China, that to use it because they want to rule the world. And here I'm sitting to a group of people today that God is inviting to do just that. And we're not getting violent. We're not doing anything. But God is going to have the first fruits, as he calls them, ready to help him rule the world when Christ returns. Now, that's biblical in a number of places in the Bible. If you know very much about the Bible, you know that's true. So that's a sea gate that God gave to Britain, and you could say America, because we are the birthright nations, and he just gave those sea gates to your enemies, he says. And now we don't have them. We've lost them, and everything is looking very, very bleak, to say the least. The Bible says we're in the times of the Gentiles. Now, God loves all of us, and he's no respecter of persons. But he does have a time frame and a time plan, which I'll talk about more tomorrow night. But there is another nuclear power I want to mention, and that is the Holy Roman Empire in Europe. And you don't really hear much about them at all. And yet, that empire could be developed within months and perhaps even weeks. And they are the ones that are going to do the most destruction in this world. They're going to be the most deadly with their nuclear weapons because they have them. And certainly France has them and has offered to share them with Germany. So they have nuclear weapons, and they also absolutely dominate Europe today. And God wants it that way. He wants us to learn a lesson. But the most phenomenal thing to me, in a way, is God even talks about, said, look, when you see all of this is just a wasteland, then they're going to get to know God. It takes so much to get people to know God. Sometimes we've all had to be tried and tested if we're trying to obey God, because it takes that to get to know God, but it shouldn't take nuclear holocaust and that kind of a crucible of nuclear power to get us to change and get to know God. And that applies to those that are even dead. They're going to get their chance, and I'll talk about that some tomorrow night as well. But here we have Russia. Now they've taken over Ukraine. Boy, what these people really are gobbling up territory. Now they're in Syria and having a great influence in the Middle East, far more than what we are. So where is their hope? Where do you find hope in all of that? If that's just all you have, I don't see how anybody could have hope. I just don't see how they could have hope. But look what God says, Christ having to come to save us alive, save mankind alive. But he goes on down in the verse 32 and verse 33. You might want to read this later. He said, now look, let's just look at the fig tree. If the fig tree puts on leaves, you know summer is near. And when you see all these things coming to pass, you know that it's right at the door. Right at the door. And then that happens to be our responsibility, to know it's at the door. Who's going to show you it's at the door? Only God can do that. No man can do that. God can do it through men. But you have to look to God. And that's what we're all striving to do, I think. But do you think nuclear madness is at the door? We've never seen anything like this ever before in our lives. And not only is prophecy being fulfilled, but it's racing along. It says in Revelation 10 and verse 6 that there's no more delay. God says that. That's the way it reads in Greek. No more delay. There have been delays in the past, but not anymore. You just see a lightning speed development of terrible, terrible problems. Where is it going to end? You people in Chicago know about problems, just like we do in any other area of the world. We all have problems. But fulfilled Bible prophecy is the major proof that God exists. And the Bible is his inspired word. It says in Jeremiah 28 and verse 9, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then you shall know that the Eternal has sent him. If it comes to pass, well, of course, God had to send him because man doesn't know what's going to happen. I can't tell you anything that's going to happen unless God reveals it to me or to you in an indirect way. We have to go to God. And I just marvel that all this is going on. And I can't find anybody that really, let's say the TV commentators, that really gets down and talks about this reality. The number one problem we face today is that of human survival. Why don't we discuss human survival? How do you survive humanly? There's only one way. If there's no God, we're not going to survive. But there is a God, and he's letting us go our own way to see that we cannot rule ourselves. You know, if you've had some, those of you who've lived a while, you know you can't solve your problems. I couldn't. I just made a disaster of my life trying to do things my way. And I had to learn, well, that's never going to work. But here's that scripture I want to show you. This is Daniel 12 and verses 4 and 9 talks about the book being just for the end time. It's not for any other time. It's for this end time. And I want to read to you what it says about this magnificent reward that God's going to give us. You can see Daniel 2 and verse 28. Now, this in Daniel 2 in verse 36, it talks about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and then he had Daniel come and reveal to him what it meant. Daniel said, there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And so he said, you, O king, are that king of kings, or the first one, that would be the head. And then he goes on to talk in verse 39 about then the Persian Empire would be there, and then on down to Alexander's Empire. And then we come to the legs, which is the Roman Empire. You have five from the east and five from the west, and that's what that's all about. But you'll notice this guy has 10 toes, 10 toes, and those 10 toes face Jesus Christ, and he smashes that image till it's just blown with the wind. There's a little horn that rules over this Holy Roman Empire, the last seven Holy Roman Empires, which is a false church, and that's why it's called the Holy Roman Empire. Otto von Habsburg knew Mr. Armstrong really well, came to the campus in Pasadena, and he died not too long ago, but he was a member of the European Parliament. And he had this to say, the European community is living largely by the heritage of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, how many people know that? Well, he said, though the great majority of the people who live by it don't know by what heritage they live. They don't even know they're living by the heritage of the Holy Roman Empire yet. They will before it's over. But he also said, we possess a European symbol which belongs to all nations of Europe equally. This is the crown of the Holy Roman Empire, which embodies the tradition of Charlemagne. Charlemagne was he led the First Reich. Hitler led the Third Reich. If you want to know about this tradition of Charlemagne, and Charlemagne just bloodied up Europe, and rivers of blood flowed as he converted people to his religion. And today they want the tradition of Charlemagne. Now, if they really understood, if people really understood what that means, they'd be scared, and they ought to be, because remember, Germany has been in the grip of this Holy Roman Empire, and it's caused the great German people misery time and time again, and the whole world. But that's just the way things work out in Satan's world. But look at verse 44 of Daniel 2. This is in the context of this image. Now here you have, what if you have this image about all the four world ruling empires and then the 10 resurrections of the Roman Empire, and the last seven are the Holy Roman Empires. does God do to end all this? This is how it has gone with man. But you'd have to say, well, now God must have a hand in that, because how does it turn out to be a great image like that? You think God didn't have something to do with that? Well, Nebuchadnezzar certainly learned he did. And he had to eat grass like a cow for 7 years to learn that the God of heaven rules in the kingdom of men. He rules in the kingdom of men whenever he chooses to. Sometimes he'll put wicked rulers in for a purpose. God lives, and people ought to know that. And we ought to know that. And that's the most wonderful way of life you could ever even dream about. And we need to know that. In verse 44, here's what it says. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, this dates it. In the days of these kings, those 10 toes right there, I mean, that's the last one. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. See, it's about over. It's about over. But notice the inspiring part of this verse. It says this fifth kingdom of God, really about all you ever hear about are the four kingdoms. But the four kingdoms without the fifth kingdoms are meaningless spiritually. It's just titillating the human nature, I guess, to get into that. But that's the way it is. But it says in this verse, it shall not be left to other people. See, that's a problem with this image in this world. The rule has been left to other people other than God's people. God says, I'm going to build and develop rulers. And if they'll come out before Jesus Christ returns, I'm going to make them kings and priests forever to rule and sit on the very throne of Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ. Now that is phenomenal. When you think about it, who could ever give you a better reward than that? Nobody could even get close. Now that is spectacular when you think about it. Anybody will just step out. You see, God's no respecter of persons. And if you know the Bible, you know that. He gave his only begotten Son to die and be savaged and beaten and marred more than any man. And I'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow night, so that we might become members of his family forever. And what a reward he gives us. He says, I'm going to make you rulers over nations if you'll let me teach you and prepare you, and you'll get behind my work and give your life to it as Christ did. He said, my meat or my special delight, that is, Christ said that, is to do the will of my Father and finish his work. That was why he came to this earth, to proclaim the Father and his family. And so God is offering us this. He's offering you this. Now, you know, if you study that, you know God, if he says he'll give you that, he'll give it to you. There isn't any way God will ever go back on his word. Every word that he says, it comes to pass. And you can prove that. We're not asking you to believe anything unless you prove it. The Bible says, prove all things. But this scripture is just one of the most beautiful scriptures in all the Bible. And to think that ugly, ugly image in Daniel 2 is going to be just obliterated and blown away with the wind. It's amazing. It's just going to be gone. Thank God for that. You know what I would tell those young college students that have anxiety? I said, well, look, I'd say, well, if I were you, and if you had any faith in God, I'd get out on my knees, and I'd pray, and I'd pray, and I'd pray till I got rid of that anxiety. And I'm telling you, that's the way I get rid of it. That's the way you have to get rid of it. It's fear. It's hopelessness. But I'll tell you this, this little church is not hopeless. And if you think we are, our students are, you ought to talk to them. They're not hopeless at all. In fact, we have 120 campers there from all over America and Canada and other parts, even other parts of the world, giving them a camp while I'm gone. And I tell you, I just delight in being around those young people. And we're showing them how to have fun, play a lot of games, what we're teaching them, how to get rid of anxiety, how to be happy, and how to reflect God in their lives. And we don't have to fear anybody or be afraid of anybody. What's there to fear? There isn't anything to fear if we really know God. Now, we're human, and we can get cowardly. I can too, but I know this. If I put my faith and trust in God, I know He's going to do exactly what He says here, and He does it every single time.
The Apostle Peter was crucified just 2 or 3 years before the AD 70 Holocaust in Jerusalem. That disaster was only a type of the coming Great Tribulation about to explode on the world scene today. Before his death, Peter knew his time on earth was coming to an end. Many of his closest friends had already been killed in a storm of persecution targeting God's church. In spite of all this bad news, Peter had a message filled with hope. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, The Epistles of Peter, A Living Hope, to understand the source of Peter's positivity. Diligent Bible study gave Peter the vision he needed to withstand intense trials with a smile. Learn how you can follow Peter's example. Request The Epistles of Peter, A Living Hope, today. The number one problem among American college students today is fear. Fear of the future. Fear about relationships. Fear caused by a staggering amount of addictions. Request our free reprint article, You Can Overcome Fear, to understand who is behind the overwhelming feelings of fear that cripple millions of people. There is a solution. There is hope. Read on to discover it. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Epistles of Peter, A Living Hope, and You Can Overcome Fear. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.